Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is the third podcast we've done this week, so I don't know what the hell we're doing.
When are we starting?
I don't know. Sleeka, take it over. You're in charge.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Hoops HD Under the Radar. I am not your normal host, Chad Sherwood, but I am John.
I'm not Chad Sherwood either.
He's Chad doing good. Keep going.
Yep. We got Chad Sherwood off to my left, and I've got David G. Puppet over to my right. So I think Chad, for a change, I have yet to see Chad introduce Under the Radar, what it means to be under the radar.
What does it mean to be under the radar? It means not this to be above not the radar. Planned.
None of it. None of it. None of this. What does it mean to be under the radar, Chad?
What does it mean to be under the radar? It means, well, you're not on the radar. No. There are the five power conferences, the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC, as well as five other conferences, the American, Big East, Mountain West, West Coast, and the Atlantic 10, that all generally put multiple teams in the NCAA tournament each year, or at least their first place finisher looks like they'll be able to get in without an automatic bid. Those conferences we deal with on our Hoops HD report on Monday night, they are not under the radar. The other 22 leagues are all under the radar, with the one exception being that they're in the top 25. You're also not under the radar, but we don't have any teams in that category.
No, I thought we were going. I thought we might get one, but we didn't, and that team lost this week. We'll get to all of that, though.
Right. Am I taking back over here, John? Or are you going to keep running?
Yep, you are now returned to the host.
All right, I've returned to the host. What we do like to do in these under the radar shows when we go through these 22 conferences, we do go through them generally in alphabetical order, other than having a single feature conference at the top of our shows. And tonight, I don't think there was any doubt as to what conference we were going to do for our feature conference. Sleeka is showing it off, if you can see him on the screen there. He is wearing his Montana State Bobcats. I guess the sweatshirt there.
When did you get that?
I actually got that last year because I never thought I would see this within 200 miles of the state of Ohio.
Right. So since he's got that shirt on, I guess, David, we should start where? Like the Big South or something?
Yeah, Big South.
Like Sun. Let's see. If it's on the screen now, it should be right there. How about a little Big Sky Conference action?
Yeah, there it is.
Now we don't have any great records here. I mean, Sacramento State's out to a 3-0 start against no serious competition yet. But let's start with Montana State, who on Saturday went to Greensboro, one of the teams we really liked out of the SoCon heading into the season, like at large bid liked.
Yeah.
And pulled out a miracle win, David.
Yeah, they led for most of the game. But, you know, if you watched it, it kind of slipped away. And then Greensboro got the lead at the very end. Like, it seesawed back and forth. But then Greensboro hit with, I think, 3 seconds left or 2 seconds left, what appeared to be the game-winning shot. And, you know, in that situation, Montana State really couldn't get up anything. They just couldn't really do anything except heave it from beyond midcourt. And it went in.
It went in at the buzzer, one of the most unbelievable finishes we've seen. This was part of an event that was hosted by Greensboro. They had to come back the very next day, play Tennessee Tech, who they dismantled.
Yeah.
Which may be a little more noteworthy than anything is because we were watching Tennessee Tech potentially beat Winthrop on the road tonight. So yeah, not that awful of a Tech team.
Right, it's a 2-point game with less than 10 seconds to go. At the time we're recording this, at the time you're watching it, it's over. I can't see the future, so I don't know what's going to happen. But Winthrop in trouble against Tennessee Tech, a team that at least I liked coming into the night.
Now, Montana State then after a day off has to go all the way across country, went to Phoenix to play the Lopes Tuesday night, and Sleeka, they did not fare as well there. But that's a lot of games and a lot of travel for this team.
4 games in 5 days, to be specific. So now the Bobcats at least get a well-deserved rest.
Yeah, Friday night they beat Appalachian State on top of that, and part of that event in Greensboro. So a nice sweep and a nice win at the, I think it was the Spartan Invitational was the name of the event, if I recall.
Yeah, I think it was. And the other thing, Chad, they opened the season with a game at Utah State, and they took them to the wall. Utah State not getting control of that game until really the final minute.
I don't want to only talk about Montana State here, though, because I want to talk about basketball throughout the state of Montana. Because let's talk about what happened Monday night. I'll highlight it right here. With the other team from Montana, the one that was in the NCAA tournament last year, one of the perennial powers in this conference, hosting NAIA Montana Tech Ore Diggers.
We love the Ore Diggers.
And they lose at home. Wow.
A real improbable game. We knew Montana was down this year. I didn't think that any of us thought they were losing at home to NAIA teams down. I mean, that was kind of a shock. Our friend Lee Del Vecchio loves Montana Tech. I think he's going to go there now.
We did a feature podcast involving NAIA over the summer, but Montana Tech was not one of the teams that was mentioned.
Yeah. So huge week for two teams from the state of Montana that are not the Grizzlies. So I don't think we've ever really discussed any Montana teams other than the Grizzlies in this podcast before. So congrats to Montana State. Congrats to the Ore Diggers.
Yeah.
Slick, anything else in this conference?
Couple things, yeah.
Okay, well, let me start with John, and then David, I'll throw it to you, too.
We have another team that's going to be near the top, and that's going to be Eastern Washington. This was kind of a chalky week where they actually lose at Boston College, but nothing terribly earth-shattering about that.
Yeah, David?
Well, a couple, I think, now I think this was before last week, Southern Utah had the big game at BYU that they really had a chance to win, could not pull it out. This is a former Centenary Award winner, so they've come a long way. I don't think they're going to finish at the top of the league, but they are much improved, and it's always kind of fun to see teams that are sort of building themselves up like that.
I guess we should also give a shout-out to Idaho here, who was a preseason team that we thought might be the worst team in D1. They did pick up a D1 victory on a neutral court over VMI one port Friday night. May have disqualified them from the Centenary Award for the worst team in D1 already. Pathetic preseason where they lost to two non-D1 teams.
Right. If you want that Centenary Award, you just can't win games.
Especially games away from home.
Yeah.
I have to give Idaho this, though. Losing in the closing seconds to literally tens of people in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah,
tens of people. It probably was a more favorable crowd there as opposed to their home crowd who had probably been booing them, but who knows. Upcoming schedule this week in the Big Sky, Montana, huge task at Washington Friday night. That could be a demolition there. Montana State, gets to relax this week. Just one home game against Colorado Christian. They should win that one easily.
But they need to get out and play. Good Lord.
Yeah. I guess that's probably about it. Anything else we're looking at forward to this week?
You also want to keep an eye on Belmont going to Eastern Washington next Tuesday.
That one, I guess Monday night also Weber State and Wright State. I think that's part of an event. And
I think that's the Gulf Coast Showcase.
Yeah, I think it is. And those are two teams that should be at or near the top of their conferences. That could be a good game as well.
Yeah, that one should be.
All right, I guess on that note, let's go back over to the America East.
Okay.
All right, America East time. Salika, your thoughts on the America East as I try to get this load on the screen.
This would also be known as a Vermont time right here. And this weekend, they get a nice win at St. John's, which actually was their first road win against the teams that are in the current Big East for the first time in almost a century.
Yeah, go ahead. Didn't really kind of an ugly game. You got the sense that like Vermont didn't play well, but still won. But in the next game, I'll let you get to that one. They did play very well.
That was a game at St. John's that was starting to slip away from Vermont a little bit, but they did get a clutch shot from Anthony Lamb in the closing seconds. But as you mentioned, they also had 40 pretty good minutes at Virginia, but that was asking a lot of the Catamounts and. They came pretty close to pulling off a shocker here.
Yeah. This Vermont team really looking good. David, anybody else beside them that you're paying any attention to? I mean, if you look at least at metrics so far, that nobody's in their league.
No, there really isn't. I mean, UMBC out to a 4-1 start. That's pretty good. Hartford doing better than what they normally do.
UMBC actually was in that game with LSU Tuesday night for about the first half, but yeah. lost by 27.
Yeah. But again, like UMBC kind of going to the pastry cart here, like only playing two D1 teams. Like Vermont is just in a class all by themselves. Everybody else is sub-NIT. Vermont is maybe inside, on the bubble or inside the bubble. And if anybody beats Vermont this year, it would be a huge upset. Well, not a huge upset, but like – the chances of them running the table are pretty high.
Well, this week they play Central Connecticut. Is that part of an event? Might be.
It's going to be a blasting.
And then Wednesday they got Gallaudet University, whatever. Gallaudet?
I don't know what that is.
Maine versus Maine Maritime on Sunday. Huge game for battle for bragging rights in the state of Maine.
Sure.
I'm trying here. Come on. Yeah. All right. Let's just move on to the Atlantic Sun. David, over in the A Sun, we are looking at this Liberty team, and we want to talk about how much we like this Vermont team. I think the Liberty team is right there as well.
Yeah, they are. No real tests yet, and so the fact that they're 5-0
at East Carolina—that's an American Power Conference team.
No real tests yet. You can look at the fact that they are 5-0. But I think that this team is better. They're certainly better than – they're capable of beating teams that are a lot better than the ones that they've played. I think they showed that to us last year. No one else in the league really excites me. Lipscomb, I mean, God, you want to talk about going through growing pains. They actually didn't look awful in the game against a pretty good Belmont team last night, but 0-4 against
the Boulevard
teams out of the gate. And North Florida has had some moments, but again, similar to the America East, you have a possible NCAA tournament caliber team, and then you have a bunch of sub-NIT teams.
I do want to give a quick shout out to Jacksonville, who had a 27 or so point halftime lead tonight against Western Carolina. As we record this, it's at the end of the second overtime. And Western Carolina is up 3, and looks like Jacksonville is going to do a real good job blowing that game at home.
But all right,
Stalica, upcoming schedules here in the A Sun. Liberty's got Morgan State on Friday. That is part of the event that they could end up facing Evansville in, correct?
Yep, and then I'm also looking at games where Lipscomb, they're going to be going to Navy on Friday and also going to a sneaky Tennessee Tech team on Monday, who, as we noted earlier, giving Winthrop a lot of trouble tonight.
Gave Winthrop that game. Tennessee Tech won at Winthrop tonight. So maybe Winthrop's not that good, but maybe Tennessee Tech is going to have something. We'll get to them in a few with the OVC. Let's keep things rolling right along here, and let's not talk about Big Sky because we already talked about them. So how about talking Big South? Sleeka, let me stick with you in the Big South Conference here, where I don't know what we really have to say now that Winthrop has that loss. It's not on the screen yet, but they do have one more loss.
We're going to start with Radford right here because they added to Northwestern's miseries because now the Wildcats have losses at home against Merrimack and Radford, but still found time to beat Providence in there somewhere.
All right, and we seem to have lost the screen there for half a second, but it should be coming back.
It should be back.
Hackers have found Chad's email.
Well, now we see if we're getting the score updated. There you see it. We now have the score, 61-58, Tennessee Tech won at Winthrop. We just lost
and
the
again,
screen while I got that on there.
It's sort of a schizophrenic year for Winthrop. On the road, really good showing against Fresno State. Real, big win. Huge UTR caliber win at St. Mary's. And then they come home and lose to Tennessee Tech. I mean, it's just a little stupefying.
In terms of the week ahead, David, I mean, this may be a conference we're just going to be shrugging our head at all season, but
yeah.
what do you see this week? Is there anything worth watching here?
No. I almost said Greensboro at High Point, and then I realized that High Point isn't very good at all and that Greensboro will probably dismantle them. Tubby Smith, I like him as a coach. He just can't seem to get it going there.
It is his alma mater, so hey, let's go over to the Big West Conference where there is a couple teams we definitely like in this
league,
including a UC Irvine team that is tied in the second half right now with TCU as we record this, about 9 minutes left in this game, according to my screen at least.
Yeah. And I need to get, do the same. I need to get that to, on my screen here. Let's okay. do that here.
While he does that, Slicka, we do have a lot of red in that right-hand column there. There were a lot of losses in this league this week.
A lot of losses, but the only real surprise is actually going to be UC Santa Barbara losing in the Thunderdome against Rice here.
Yeah, disappointing, because we like the Santa Barbara team kind of heading into the season. I think it's looking like an Irvine's league right now from everything I've seen so far.
Yeah,
especially the way they're playing at a Big 12 team, even if it is the worst Big 12 team.
Yeah, and that was kind of disappointing. The Eaters, but I agree, I think it's the Eaters league once again, despite – I don't think they're quite as good as they were a year ago, but because, you know, despite having to replace an awful lot, they're still pretty good.
Right. The upcoming schedule is on the screen there. Irvine is playing Detroit on Sunday. That may be part of it's a round robin event. They get Louisiana then on Tuesday. I don't know what else I could tell you to watch in this conference.
I'll just say that if UC Santa Barbara doesn't go 2-0 this week, they've really got problems.
Yeah.
See, Santa Barbara hosting Menlo College, and Portland State is, I guess, you know, I don't know, something.
No, they're not.
Okay.
We've been through the Big Sky already. We did not mention Portland State.
You're right. We did not mention them.
When you lose to city rival Portland, you are not going to be getting any mentions.
Let's talk about one of, if not the only 6-0 team in the entire nation, thus making them the best team in the entire nation.
Yes.
The Fighting Blue Heads of the University of Delaware.
Yeah, 6-0. It's funny that they're that high in the
number 16 in our colleague Joby's nitty gritty ratings. That makes them a protected seed.
It does. The nitty gritty ratings, scary accurate. It beats bracketologists, and it's not even a person. It's just a computer. It knows what the committee's going to do before they do, and it has Delaware at 16th. Although it, you know, you do have to have the asterisk that we're only 3 weeks in. And everything's out of whack. Not really tested. I mean, I'm willing to be open to the idea that Delaware is pretty good, but I'm still not sold on them the way I am Bill and Mary.
Really? Well, tell you what, I'm actually going to be at the Delaware game most likely next Friday night. They're hosting Eastern Shore the day after Thanksgiving. I'm going to give a firsthand report after that game on this Delaware team. But
I like them more than Eastern Shore.
Okay, well, Eastern Shore actually was up on Oklahoma at half tonight, David. So,
yeah, that's remarkable.
James Madison, nice road win last night at Old Dominion also. So the JMU team may be worth keeping half an eye on this season as well.
Yeah, I still think Northeastern has a high ceiling. It's just, it seems like that, as is the case every year, not playing up to it. Towson, who had a really big effort against Florida about a week ago, got ripped by Xavier tonight.
Northeastern did beat Holy Cross 101-44, and they let off the gas of that game. That's how
poorly
that game was Tuesday night. John, the upcoming schedule should be on the closure, should be on the screen right about now. Anything else you're looking forward to this week? There's a couple interesting games here, I think, actually.
Well, Hofstra was one team that's looked at as a potential favorite to win the Colonial, and they're going to have a West Coast roadie with that games at UCLA and then Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah, David, what else? We've got maybe this Charleston at UCF game might be worth keeping an eye on, too. This Charleston team might have something.
Yeah, I think so. And UCF kind of limping along, but still holding sort of so far despite losing just about everything. But, yeah, I think that one's worth it. And can a college of Charleston, I know you just mentioned that, beat Wake? I think they can.
Yeah, that's the first game of an event starting on Thanksgiving.
That's the Wooden Legacy.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So that's across the country they got to go. And, John, how about Conference USA, where we have two undefeated teams here, UTEP and Western Kentucky? UTEP has a nice win over New Mexico, and New Mexico State's already on their resume.
They have New Mexico State, but that's their only competition against D1 so far.
It's a couple of decent names and a couple of decent schools. They're going to get New Mexico State one more time. And David, WKU has not really been tested, but we like this team a lot heading into the season.
Yeah, that's true. And I think, are they in an event this week? I think they are. So we're going to learn a lot about them this week. But again, they've held serve so far. a real schizophrenic team a year ago that some nights looked like they could be in the Sweet 16, and that's not hyperbole, and at other times just looking awful. So you wonder if they're going to get the ship righted. Charlotte, who had a big week, or at least some big feel-good wins at home, beating Davidson, beating Wake, going on the road tonight and showing that they just aren't the same team on the road, a very subpar App State team, kind of ran them over. You know, some other teams that I thought would be good in this league that have been kind of disappointing, the two Texas teams, North Texas and UTSA, I mean, I really thought they would be a lot better than that.
Okay, you may have been the only person that did, but let's see here. Did we get the upcoming games? Yeah, there they are. There's the upcoming games in this conference. Western Kentucky's first game in that event is against Bowling Green. You know, this is the Battle of Bowling Greens.
Yes.
Bowling Green, Kentucky versus
Bowling Green, Ohio.
So that could be a big new rivalry game here, perhaps.
Probably not. But how about Old Dominion, George Mason, a throwback to the old classic colonial days here?
Yeah, that's coming up Monday as the first game of that event that those two teams are in. Southern Miss in the battle for Atlantis, starting with Gonzaga.
Good luck for there. you know, on their march to the seventh place game.
Other match march to eighth place.
Yeah.
I like it. John, over the Horizon League, you know, Wright State has played three games against D1 competition, is 2-1. They lost a close game to a very good to a Kent State team that we're going to talk about in a few minutes here. But
yeah,
is this Wright State team, you're a Cincinnati guy, is this Wright State team the team to beat here, or is it NKU?
I would probably say at this point Wright State is going to be a 1B next to a Northern Kentucky who's now going to be 1A, because the Norse, they get a win against a Coppin State team that was more or less a bye game, but NKU does get a close win at Ball State as well, so they'll get the edge for now, but we'll be discussing Kent State quite a bit later on as another pleasant surprise in the state of Ohio.
Yeah, Kent State really good. Nice win against Wright State. But I agree with Stalika. I think this is a two-horse race, and they're pretty evenly matched. And then the gap between second and third is pretty large.
Yeah, NKU this week hosting Texas Southern and Midway.
Okay.
Wright State this week, I don't even see them on the calendar there. They've got to be there somewhere, though. They're there with Weber State. We mentioned that earlier, the first game of that event down at
Is that a battle of airports on Monday between Midway and Northern Kentucky?
Well, the Cincinnati airport, right? That's in Northern Kentucky.
It is.
let's go to the Ivy League and figure out what the hell we're doing on this show. Dartmouth!
Yes! One of the bigger surprises in the Ivy, one of the bigger surprises maybe of the year.
They should be undefeated, but they got blown out by a very mediocre Jacksonville team.
Yeah.
In that three, I guess it was three games in 3 days, but the nice win at Lowell to bounce back the next day.
Have the win at Buffalo. If you can pull up their profile here. Yeah, it is kind of
profile time. Okay.
Yeah. You know, I love when we do this. Hey, it's Memphis and Florida.
Memphis and Florida.
Not on this show, buddy.
Sorry about that. Yeah. There we go. Dartmouth. And,
yeah.
Go ahead. I'll put something else over here.
Go ahead. The big green. But, you know, they have the two wins away from home, and then you see the loss there to Jacksonville. They certainly had played and beaten better teams. But one of the bigger surprises, I didn't think they'd win four games all year. They've won four already, and they've beaten – you know, the win at Buffalo was a really good win for a program that – doesn't have a whole lot of history and that hasn't been all that good lately, but Keggy the Keg and Company getting it done.
And they beat Merrimack, and here's Merrimack on the right-hand side. They won at Northwestern, so.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. And we all know how devastating of a loss that Providence game will be for Merrimack.
Upcoming week here, Dartmouth this week is going to be relaxing and taking it easy. They're not playing. Penn at Providence, though, we've got coming up. We got Arizona State at Princeton. Penn then playing UCF in the first round of the Wooden Legacy.
Yeah. Let's not skip over, because I know that they're not a team that we're in the habit of talking about, but I do think Brown is good this year. I know that they haven't really been tested as of yet, but I mean, do they have anything on the horizon there, Chad? Can we get their profile up?
You want a profile on another Ivy League team? Yeah. We're doing double Ivy League profiles in November. This is in-depth analysis, yeah. folks. Here's the Brown Bears. They beat Quinnipiac. They won at Bryant. They lost at Sacred Heart. They beat Canisius, and they've got NJIT on the horizon coming up in a couple days.
Yeah, interesting game at UMass Lowell. They should be able to win that. Harvard was the team that we were super, super big on coming in. I know that we're not going to learn a lot about Brown as far as, like, where their ceiling is. I mean, that is, of course, unless they win at Duke or something like that. But what do you think of them based on what you've seen from them and what you've seen from Harvard? Is it crazy to think that maybe Brown can keep pace with them throughout league play?
Yes, I think it is. I think Brown's a team that's played nobody and lost at Sacred Heart.
Okay. Anyway.
One game I did
you asked me, I told you the truth.
Go ahead, one game I did mean to highlight big. Earlier. Princeton actually hosted Brown Arizona some props State on Tuesday.
Chad just talking crap about him. Oh, sorry, John.
No, that was a good filibuster puppet because I guess we don't care about Princeton.
We don't care about Princeton. We don't care about Arizona State. We do care yeah. about the Metro Atlantic, just not this time of year where they
yeah.
two wins all week. And conference has about 8 or 9 D1 wins on the season so far.
What?
And just a rough start here. Nothing of note. Everybody lost. Yale and Siena, a triple overtime game, but Yale did get the win last night.
Yeah, this is a league that has produced teams that have landed on the bubble, inside the bubble, just missing the field. Monmouth a few years ago. What happened? Like, this is 15-16 Lion-ish for the second year in a row.
Yeah, it's still a league I love, but it's
I guess
Iona. They got Stetson in game tomorrow night as part of an event that they're in round robin. They got Kennesaw. Oh, actually, no, this Iona Stetson and the Iona Kennesaw games. This is the along with the Monmouth Kennesaw game and Monmouth Stetson game there on Saturday. This is these games play in Orlando. It's the Metro Atlantic Sun Challenge. It's a little modified round robin two-day event there, four teams.
Okay.
Which conference wins.
Also keep an eye on a Big Three matchup between St. Bonnie and Canisius up in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the Big Four, you mean.
Big Four.
Yeah.
Who'd you throw out, Buffalo or Niagara? Who'd you throw out?
I'm thinking of the classic Big Three between St. Bonnie, Canisius, and Niagara.
So you threw out Buffalo.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Buffalo fans – his Twitter is at Jake. Speaking of Buffalo and speaking of the American Conference, let's go right there. David, let's not talk Buffalo, though. Let's talk Kent State.
Yeah, undefeated on the year, albeit against two non-D1 teams, but a real nice win at Wright State, especially by under the radar standards. Wright State might not lose, but maybe one or two more at home the rest of the way. That I think Kent's going to get a lot of credit for that. And this is a league that we thought, I think, would perform a little better than what it has. Bowling Green also looking pretty good at 1-1, I guess. But Kent State, of all the teams that were sort of big on in the preseason, only one that's really stepped up so far.
Well, I don't know. Eastern Michigan has been whopping those non-D1 foes, so.
Yeah, that, I noticed that they won a game and their RPI went from 1 to 107.
But also keep an eye on Danny Pippen for Kent State. He was the one that hit the game-winning three against Wright State with 3 seconds to play and also hit a pivotal three-pointer in their overtime win at Towson the previous week.
Yeah, what about Akron? Who all – I know they're 3-1. I don't remember who all they've played. Let's pull up the profiles, Chad. Kent State, Akron. The wagon wheel rivalry.
All right, here we go. Akron coming in on the left-hand side. Kent State coming up here on the right-hand side. And we can take a look and see that. There we go. Akron has beaten nobody of note.
Okay. Yeah, not exactly.
They did beat Malone.
Yeah. If they win the next one, then they will have done something or at Louisville.
Just a quick update. It's not on the screen there. Central Michigan is not undefeated anymore. They got blasted by Minnesota tonight, so they are 4-1 now. But they're going to get a chance coming up here in a couple days to play Trinity Christian to start winning again.
Mm-hmm.
Other games coming up. Akron, David, they're at Louisville. There you go.
Yeah, if they win that one, they will have done something.
Yes, they will have done a lot. Kent State, Ohio State coming up on Monday is first round of their event, I believe.
If Kent State wins that one, they will have done a lot. A couple of shooting at the moon opportunities here for two of the better teams in the MAC. But again, it's really, really hard to hit the moon. It can be done. We've seen it before. But like, if one or both of those were to – I mean, if they were to pick up one of those, then suddenly you're talking solid at large caliber team, but that's hard to do.
We already mentioned it once. I'll just quickly mention it again, though. Bowling Green, Western Kentucky on Friday. Really am looking forward to that game.
Yeah.
MEAC time.
Oh, God.
Let's see. We have one, two, three. We have four D1 wins in this conference already.
We including do, yeah.
Huge, huge Morgan State win at George Washington.
A huge win in that it's the only D1 win for the MEAC this week.
Yes.
And yeah.
That's the only D1 road win. But George Washington sucks.
Yeah, they really do.
Upcoming schedule for the MEAC. This is just get through this this portion of the season.
Yeah.
Morgan State started with Liberty, giving Liberty here Friday night in the first round of their event. We mentioned that already.
Right. This is a rough existence. I mean, playing on one of these teams, you're on the road for days and weeks at a time. I mean, to miss that much class to go and get your brains beat in, it's tiring, it's exhausting, it can't be all that much fun. You sort of, and I understand that it is a moneymaker. It's really the best and not the only way, but the best way they have to finance their programs. But you sort of like look at this, and there's another conference we're going to talk about here as well, the SWAC, and you're like, can't they come up with something a little better than this? I mean, good grief.
Well, John, let's pull ourselves out of the dregs of Metro Atlantic and MEAC type basketball, move way, way up to the Missouri Valley Conference. Evansville, we mentioned that already at the top of the show. They did follow up the win at Kentucky with the home loss by 2 points to SMU. I guess they won a game between there, didn't they? They beat IU Kokomo or something like
that.
Yeah,
IU Kokomo.
A game that's not really going to count, but another team that's had kind of a hard luck week is going to be Missouri State. We got into it on the Hoops HD report where they had a bit of a hard luck loss at Xavier, given that they had a flopping call that went against them in the final minutes. And earlier today, they were very competitive against Miami, but were unable to pull out a win against the Hurricanes down in Charleston.
Yeah, trailed by 18 in the second half, if you watch that game. Got the lead down the two in the final minutes, but couldn't get the win. Probably not enough on there to – I mean, unless they run the table and win out or something like that to warn an at-large. But, you know, a really good team, along with Northern Iowa, along with Evansville, who might not be as good as we thought, but – it's still pretty good.
I'm not going to take anything away from Evansville until they lose a few more games. I'm not going to dock them too much for the SMU loss. It is a non-under-the-radar team that they lost to.
Right.
Got East Carolina coming up in their event that they could eventually play Liberty in the finals of coming up Friday. Northern Iowa's next game is against West Virginia in their event, and that's one thing I'm really looking forward to. I really like this Northern Iowa team. I think we're going to learn a lot about them next week.
And yeah, that's going to be down in Cancun. That also includes South Carolina as well.
Yeah.
Right, and I picked Northern Iowa to win that event, so I'm picking them to beat West Virginia.
Yeah. So after getting on the – was it the 15 or 16 line last year? Is the Valley back to being one of the better under-the-radar conferences this year?
I think they are if they can keep those three top teams and they don't see somebody, you know, you don't see somebody crazy sneak in and steal the auto bid, obviously.
Yeah.
One of our
Southern
favorite-
Illinois, 1-4, decided to get rid of Barry Hinson. Good job, Southern Illinois. Anyway, on to the NEC.
On to the NEC. We love this conference in January, February, and March.
Yes, we do. And I'm looking forward to Merrimack being in it, even though they won't be in the conference tournament, and it's still going to be fun. We love it in January, February, and March. What do you have coming up this week?
We got a Stony Brook at Wagner. Could be a fun one. Mount St. Mary's is going to go get plastered by Kentucky. SFPA is going to get plastered by Florida State.
Yeah.
Long Island's going to get beat up by Texas Tech. We're going to get a lot of odds here, aren't we?
Yeah, probably so. But these teams fun to watch. Ohio Valley Conference.
In the OVC, we already mentioned that this Belmont team a couple times. Nice win in the first round of the Battle of the Boulevard at Lipscomb, though, last night.
Yeah, since losing their opener at Illinois State, another team from the Valley that we recently talked about, they've won four in a row. They've looked pretty good doing it. Nice win at Boston College. Nice win the other night. They've got several wins on the road. I think that they're the class of the league. Murray State also good, but I'm once again big on this Belmont team, despite losing a player to the NBA, but despite losing an NBA caliber player who's in the NBA and having to rebuild and losing their coach. I think this is a really good Belmont team. They didn't lose him. He graduated and is now in the NBA, no longer on the team. He didn't quit and go to the NBA.
They lost an NBA caliber player who was in the NBA. Got it. Stalika. One other team.
Why is Chad here?
Morehead State did pick up their first loss of the season at Mizzou. They've got another big test coming up at Butler Friday night. Few other tests coming up here. Belmont at St. Louis, Jacksonville State at Purdue. Do you see any upsets coming out of this league? I guess is more of the question here.
I don't know about upsets, but I'll be curious to see how Morehead does when they go back to their weight class next Tuesday when they go to William and Mary.
That could be a good one. Circle that game, yeah.
Yeah, that should. How about that Belmont at St. Louis game? I'm looking forward to that one.
Go ahead, John.
I got nothing.
You got nothing? Well, how about telling us about the Patriot League then?
Patriot League, well, we've already covered one notable result where Holy Cross absolutely got dump trucked by a fellow Massachusetts school, Northeastern. But other than that, a lot of men this conference in November because we're still in a pledge drive portion.
Lafayette, though, a nice home win over Penn, who already won at Alabama. So, maybe Lafayette might have something this year.
Maybe so, yeah.
We'll see. It could have just been whatever game, but Army beating Fairleigh Dickinson. Here's our upcoming schedule. Bucknell's at Syracuse, Harvard at Holy Cross. Should we move on?
Yeah, probably so.
All right. David, SoCon time. Let's
get SoCon. All right. Little bit of disappointment. Not that there's any shame in losing at Alabama, but I really thought Furman was good enough to where not only it was a game they could have won, it was a game they should have won if they're a team that really should be inside the bubble. Went down there, they kind of seesaw back and forth. They had a lead in the second half, but Alabama pulling it out at the end. East Tennessee State just couldn't get it done at Kansas. What the hell is wrong with East Tennessee State?
Slika, I know you want to address the game I highlighted.
I thought you were going to highlight South Florida finally beating Wofford, but I think we also have to discuss VMI taking down the whole religion of Christendom.
96-20. I mean, they destroyed them.
They destroyed Christians. The Lions were more merciful than that.
Here's our upcoming schedule here. Is that some early conference games there? I see VMI at Greensboro. That might be an early conference
game. It's a conference game, unless there's a mistake.
Yeah, well, maybe it's an early conference game. Who knows? East Tennessee State, Furman, Greensboro, though, I still keep an eye on all three of those teams all season. I do like all three of them, and I think that any of them could get hot enough to get close to the bubble at least.
Yeah.
Southland Conference, where Stephen F. Austin finally suffered a loss to the mighty Scarlet Knights of Rutgers. But it is the only team with multiple D1 wins and one of the few teams with any D1 wins out of the season.
Yeah. Nichols, still holding on to that win against Purdue. What about this Nichols team? I mean, at first glance, when you look at that, yeah, the numbers aren't that great, but they took Illinois to overtime, and they had a double-digit lead with about 5 minutes to go at Rhode Island. Now, Rhodey came back and won, but is this a team that's capable of playing better Are there indications here that this might be the best team in the conference by quite a bit?
I think
they're even though they're just 1-3.
I think there absolutely are. They've got North Carolina A&T, so they could start picking up some wins this week. They got UMBC as well, so the overall record may come back into balance here. We may be talking this. I agree with you. This may be the best team in the conference at the end of the day. They've played one of the top strengths of schedule in the nation so far.
Yeah, the LSU also their other loss. Now that game wasn't close, but it was at LSU. Mm-hmm. I mean.
I would also invite New Orleans to take a nice screenshot of their strength of schedule at number 4, but that's going to take a little bit of a dip with their game at Hawaii on Sunday.
John, the Southwestern Athletic Conference, we do have one D1 win on the season, and that's it.
Oh, yep, wow.
But we have a nice win by Alcorn State against one of our under-the-radar favorites, Our Lady of the Lake.
Our Lady of the Lake. This is a conference that's cashing a lot of paychecks this time of year.
Yeah.
They said they have wins. There's a couple of, home games that are thrown in here now and then by these teams, like Monday night's Champion Baptist at Pine Bluff game. But other than that, you're just going to see a lot more losses here. I really don't know that I see a win. Although I guess maybe Texas Southern at Montana could be one worth circling.
Yeah.
But also circle IUPUI actually making a trip down to Baton Rouge to take on Southern. I don't know if that's going to mean much or not.
Yeah, that could be a loss also, though, for this league.
Summit
League time, David, and let's talk a little Yotes.
Yeah, how about the Yotes? Out to a 5-0 start, 3 of those wins out in Hawaii. Love what I'm seeing out of them so far. I think they were one of the preseason favorites. They're certainly looking it. And how good are they? I mean, they look pretty good to me.
I'm very high on this team so far. We also saw this win, this team go get a Power 5 conference win tonight. Omaha went out and won at Wazoo in a hostile environment in front of all 5 hostile fans there.
Yeah, all 5 were there tonight.
Yes, all 5.
All 5 of them were there tonight.
All 5 Wazoo fans were there tonight. South Dakota, huge, huge test Friday night at Arkansas, possibly.
Yeah. It is winnable. I mean, I'm not going to pick them to win, but like that is a winnable game. They're good and they can absolutely win it.
That's definitely a game I'm going to be watching. John, anything else you're circling in this league coming up this week?
Well, we can also circle South Dakota getting to spend Thanksgiving Eve in Riverside, taking on Cal Baptist.
Yep.
All right. Let's see what they do there.
Battle of Riverside. I still haven't recovered from last year's.
John, in the Sun Belt Conference, we've got a 5-1 start by Arkansas State. There's a mixture of red. I mean, I'm not this certain I've seen much out of this conference. But other than, let's talk about what happened tonight in Myrtle Beach, where Coastal Carolina absolutely dismantled.
Yeah, this was starting to look like the Pac-12 of last year, where Washington State not only loses at home to Omaha, but Utah gets dump trucked at Coastal's gym.
Yeah,
that was ridiculous. I mean, I would have been surprised had Coastal won, even though it was on their home floor, but they just blasted them.
Right, and it was a home game, and but still, the score was ridiculous. Coastal now, I believe, gets Baylor tomorrow, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I think that's right.
That game is not on the screen yet because I didn't have that locked in yet, but I believe they're playing – I could be wrong on this, but I believe they're playing Baylor in the second round tomorrow. So keep an eye on that. But anything else that's coming up here this week, David, of any note?
I'm just kind of curious to see how good this Coastal team is because that was kind of surprising. App State with a nice win tonight over a Charlotte team. That had been playing pretty good. Going to East Tennessee State, don't think they're going to pick that one up. That's Northeastern. Okay, I was going to say South Alabama should pick up a road win, but they're playing Northeastern, not Northwestern. Yeah.
Yeah, just confirmed here. It's Mississippi State and Villanova in one of the Myrtle Beach semifinals tomorrow. The other one is Baylor and Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
All right. Let's finish things off in the Western Athletic Conference. And that really is going to finish things off here for us. I guess we should talk a bit about the Lopes after the loss to the non-D1 Davenport. They now do have two D1 wins with the wins over Montana State and Pine Bluff.
Yeah, Pine Bluff, nothing to get overly excited about there, but a nice win over Montana State, a team that had played real good, albeit they were probably out of gas by the time the Lopes got them. But Lopes looking about in that game the way that we expected them to look, not at all like they did in their first three games. New Mexico State tonight, at the time we're recording this, they have a 2-point lead at the half over rival New Mexico, out to a slow start, largely probably entirely, not just largely, due to their injury situation. Utah Valley went into Kentucky and got some punches in, but couldn't quite get over the top though.
But then went to UAB and picked up a road win there. So not that bad. A little bit of life out of Utah Valley, but when New Mexico State gets healthy, I think they run away with this conference.
But when I look at those results for Utah Valley, I just want to know, how the hell are you losing at Denver?
I guess they've gotten a lot better.
You know, I got to go back to these scores. I got to give a little bit of a shout out here to the Kansas City Ruse. They beat Bacon 111-38.
Yeah. I mean, Coach Billy, I don't know.
I'm a big fan of Bacon, so
yeah.
upcoming schedule here. We mentioned the New Mexico State game going on right now. A few other games, but it's been a rough start to the season for this league so far. For sure. Go to our top 10 lists?
I think so, unless we have anything else before that.
Not that I do. Sleeka, you got anything?
Nope.
All right. Under the radar top 10 list for November 21st, 2019. Still a lot across the board here.
Oh, my God.
A bunch of ties in there.
Not a whole lot of separation there.
But let's start with the honorable mentions. These are teams that received votes but did not crack the top 10. They include Montana State, just missing that top 10. Irvine, who might be about to lose a game at TCU, but they were in it.
Yeah, TCU hit a three to go ahead with less than 3 seconds to go.
Delaware's in there, undefeated, did not quite crack the top 10. UTEP, South Dakota, I thought they'd be in our top 10, did not quite crack it. And, of course, the Diggers.
The Diggers! All right! I didn't know we could vote for them!
That's why they didn't get the top 10. I'm the only one that did.
Oh, the Diggers!
Of course we can. They're under the radar. You don't get more under the radar than the Diggers.
They're off the radar.
They're off. Well,
they're on their off the radar top 10.
We're going to be following the Diggers all season long. We love the Diggers.
Our two-team tie for ninth place. This vote's were cast before the games of the final tonight, but Belmont and Winthrop.
I'd like to flop them with Montana State if I could. Okay. But I'm the only one that voted for Winthrop. I apologize.
Kent State coming in at number 8. We discussed what we really like, what they've seen out of them with that Wright State win in the Mid-American. And 7th place, we've got Evansville taking a few steps of a fall after the loss to SMU at home.
Yeah.
Three-way tie for 4th place here between Northern Iowa.
Like them.
Western Kentucky. Ooh. And East Tennessee State.
Oh, crap. I think I forgot to vote for East Tennessee State.
All right. Coming in at number 3, another team from the SoCon, I believe. Furman coming in at number 3. Yeah. So Furman and East Tennessee State getting a lot of love out of the SoCon. But our top 2 teams coming in at number 2, the Liberty Flames. Hmm. With a loss on the season already coming in at number 2. And a team with a loss on the season also coming in at number 1. Probably not a surprise. The Vermont Catamounts.
Yeah. Liberty has a loss? No, they don't.
You're right. Well, they should have a loss.
No, I mean, they haven't played anybody.
You're right. Liberty does not have a loss. Vermont has a loss. I knew somebody up the top had a loss, but, don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about. On that note, let's get rid of this screen here, and let's just go and do some final thoughts. Sleeka?
I'll go to Florida Gulf Coast, and there are 2 things I thought I would never mention.
Have a nice trip. I'll see you.
Yep. Oh. One of them is going to be number 1. They actually won their first game about 4 or 5 games into the season. And number 2, they actually had to tweet out about their football program.
This was great.
You got to tell the story.
Yeah. Tell this story. This was great.
I mean, Florida Gulf Coast, they do have a club football team, but they don't have a varsity football team, hence their affiliation in the Atlantic Sun Conference. But nonetheless, they were actually getting commitments from potential prospects.
Well, the school was actually – the team was actually tweeting offers out to prospects to come and play at the school on their club team. And it was causing chaos.
Oh God, I love this because, like, yeah, and what all was happening? Like, I mean, they're not an NCAA sport. They're nothing. It's just a group of people. It would be like if we started doing that to come play for Hoops HD, and people were committing.
Oh, it was funny.
Yeah. Oh, that is awesome. So the athletic department had to release a statement stating that they did not have a football team.
Oh, gosh. David, you want to give any other thoughts on the night? Are we done?
I had one, but I forgot what it was.
All right. On that note, I'm Chad Sherwood. He's John Salica. He's David Griggs. We're out of here. We'll be back again next week. Have a great night, everybody.